Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Do you know, by the way, Edwin, do you know that Sean has joined and is now going to Vegas with me, Jordan, and Danny this weekend? All you need to know is he's coming to Vegas with me, Jordan, and Danny. And both Sean and Jordan have never been.
Oh, wow.
Not as an adult.
Sean, you're going to love it.
I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm genuinely nervous.
Just the four of you guys? What are you going for?
It's for Jordan's birthday.
Jordan's birthday.
Jordan's awesome. 34th birthday.
Jordan's 34th birthday, which Danny was saying.
Happy anniversary.
I told somebody, I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm thinking about going to Vegas for my friend's birthday. And they were like, oh, well, how old are they turning? And I was like, I don't know, like 34? That seems weird.
Just like, wow. You're going to Vegas for a 34th birthday. It's like
I think he really wants to go to
expect
Vegas.
Yeah, you expect it for like turning 21 or like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or 30. Yeah.
30 maybe. Or Then at the other side of that, like 50. But 34. Huh. And just
it's a big year for us all.
A regular birthday.
Huh? Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. If your business paper needs or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and I am a karaoke fiend, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Dwight Jr.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I'm just a cleaning lady. Ah, dead body!
He wrapped his belt around his own neck. It looks like a classic case of autoerotic asphyxiation. Yeah, it looks like everybody's tightening their belts in this economy. Bum, bum, dum, 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 dum. The last time you saw the victim, was he happy? Last time I saw this, John, he wasn't a victim, if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. No.
I love when he's chewing the bubble gum. Yeah. Last time I saw this, John. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we're talking about karaoke on The Office. After that, we'll do our Ordinary Things segment where we relate our own lives to The Office. And we'll finish up with some listener-provided trivia sent to us from Sienna in Australia. Before we get going,
only Sienna had been from Vienna.
We got any housekeeping to start with?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'll push for the Patreon up top, as I do. But we do have a development with that. So I've been working the last few days with Brianna and Kayla, who are two of our incredible, wonderful super fans that run our fan group on Facebook. But they have... a Discord server has been created. There's people in there. It's getting going. We're going to link it to our Patreon this week. So by the time this show comes out, we should be up and running there. The Discord is awesome. Like I say, there's already 20 some people in there. So we're going to be posting links to that. And then if you are a Scott's Tot, you will get access to some exclusive channels within that server. It's a Discord server where me, Sean, Edwin will hang out in there from time to time. I think it's a great platform going forward. We could do live AMAs. We can talk with people. We can, if we want to eventually do some sort of live call-in type of situation. It's a great platform for that. So you're going to want to be on the Discord. Oh yeah. You're going to want to be on the Discord. It's going to be a cool place to hang out. We're throwing around memes. We're going to have some, there's some like office role play channels going on. There's some general chat. There's There's a Toast Talk channel. There's all kinds of stuff. So get in there. Get in there. And again, if you are a Scots Tot, you will have your own special color within the server. We'll have private channels. Exclusive stuff continues. So yeah, get pumped. Get ready for the Discord. Wow. Just keep an eye out on our socials, on our channels. We'll post some links to it and then announcing it this week. And by the time we have a show next week, yeah, that should be all up and running. Exciting stuff.
Wow.
Cool.
On the Discord.
What a time to be alive.
So Christmas 2002, we should have that link for you.
That's awesome. I only just learned how to use Discord, now I think I'm pretty savvy with it now, so I'm excited. That's going to be super fun. So check us out on there. Okay, Edwin, this week we're talking about karaoke on The Office. Why is that?
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you for asking. I think it's a very important question. the idea.
Edwin, I am going to have you turn yourself up a little bit more. You know?
Always barking out orders, this guy. Okay,
I am.
How's that?
And I'm leaving this in, too, just so people know how the sausage gets made.
Well, Sean, I'm so glad you asked. The idea to talk about karaoke on The Office came to me over the weekend when I was watching the Lice episode, and Meredith and Pam sing karaoke together. And maybe just kind of think of the role that karaoke has on the show. It doesn't come up all the time. It comes up, I think, just often enough to be something very unique and different in different seasons. And the way that different characters use it and what songs they choose, I thought was really interesting and a good topic for us to explore today.
Karaoke's also been a part of our lives.
Very much.
You feel strong about it. When you did bring this topic up, Edwin, it was like, I guess they sing karaoke a couple times, and then you start thinking about it, and there's more and more instances that pop up, and the moments when it happens, it's kind of almost in regular intervals throughout the 9 seasons. There's a karaoke scene at some point. So it's, yeah, one kind of way to look at The Office.
Yeah, it goes from being kind of this very unique introduction to in season 9 in Dwight Christmas, where I think it's Meredith who says, "Where's the karaoke machine?" So it becomes like sort of this expectation on some level.
Yeah. And when Daryl's there, they don't even need a machine at times.
That's true. I think, you know, for me, the first sort of karaoke moment isn't necessarily with the traditional karaoke setup, but I think to me it's the Dundies. Like, I think is Michael.
Not Jim's
hosting,
party.
Yeah. Well, this is slightly before Jim's party, but Michael is hosting the Dundies, and everyone in the audience, all the Dunder Mifflin staff, are kind of there to listen to Michael. And Oscar compares it to a kid's birthday party where, you know, the kid's having fun, but not really a lot there for you. And you think about how karaoke brings people in and allows them to kind of show themselves off in a way. It's very different from the Dundies to the end of the show. And I know that it's not a literal karaoke moment. There isn't the words on the screen, but Michael is essentially amplifying himself with a microphone and changing the words to a number of classic songs, which for me has ruined them for life.
You know, I guess that's true. There are a lot of moments that almost feel like karaoke moments, but aren't quite exactly. Definitely thinking about the bus ride to Beach Games. Everyone singing together, the Flintstones and the other song.
The Gambler.
The Gambler, that's it. And
the night grew deathly quiet.
Yeah. Or even in The Fire, where Ryan started the fire, kind of almost feels. I mean, you know, if you're going to count in the Dundies, everyone joins in on that one.
How about Goodbye Toby?
Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of karaoke with a live band, a la, a la Dante's. There's a bar in Portland here called Dante's, and they do an event called Karaoke from Hell every week, which is karaoke with a live backing band in front of an audience. And you gotta be confident, or you get it does not go well. But that's pretty much what's happening at Goodbye Toby with the Supertramp cover.
That's definitely raising stakes to hold on karaoke. Yeah.
You gotta know when to hold them. You gotta know when to fold them. I think too, moving into Jim's barbecue, I think that is like a unique introduction. And I think it's funny because you think of the songs that people are singing. Not everyone is participating. You get Phyllis singing "Here I Go Again on My Own." You have Michael coming in hot and wanting to be next and singing "Islands in the Stream" with Jim. It's again, like, we don't see nearly as many characters volunteering to express themselves in this way at such an early juncture in the show.
Yeah, the energy is kind of low, if I remember, too. It's, I mean, just in general, the Scranton Branch ensemble has not really come out of their shells yet at this point in the series. So, but I do think it's interesting, too, that Michael immediately picks a duet. He wants someone to just jump in and join him. And then when they don't, he goes right for the high part.
he loves a high part.
That's true. He loves a high harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I guess it is kind of funny that, like, he set himself up for that to be kind of a pathetic moment by picking the duet, which I think is an interesting use of karaoke as a writing tool.
I mean, that's one thing from, I mean, we know that Michael often shows poor judgment, but also looking for a companionship.
Yeah.
Kind of in any way he can get it. Yeah, I think this idea that I was kind of thinking about when it comes to karaoke in the office is this idea of self-amplification, that you have a platform and a stage and a microphone and a chance to kind of express yourself in a unique way. And it makes a lot of sense that early on in the show, a lot of the characters don't really want to share those elements with each other, especially. And I'm thinking not just of karaoke, but just like of themselves. I'm thinking of you think about the way that everyone in the office is kind of hanging around. Stanley and Oscar and Kelly are talking about paper, and Kelly says, come on, guys, but there's got to be something we could talk about besides paper. They don't have anything to talk about. And you think about later in the show when they're talking about all of their personal lives and their lovers and their senators and all these kinds of things, just very different. And the choice to sing karaoke and amplify yourself to some extent is just like a very unique thing to watch different characters engage in. It's funny to see Phyllis singing that song and imagine how she would, what her presence would be singing a karaoke song later. Not that I think she has a karaoke moment later. But yeah, think about how she dances with Daryl. Yeah.
Right. Or listens to erotic books on tape, just out in the bullpen.
And then
I would have liked to have seen Bob and Phyllis sing a duet. What would they? Islands in the Stream, maybe? I feel like that'd be their jam.
I could see them.
Summer Lovin' from Greece.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Just get really weird.
Yeah. I think, you know, on the topic of karaoke, I think it's very easy to narrow in on a Benihana Christmas as like one of the moments where karaoke becomes a bigger thing in the office.
Definitely.
Yes.
And introduced by Karaoke Christmas, introduced by Karen, but definitely willingly embraced by Andy. As he becomes like the vocal part or the singing counterpart of the show for most of the run. And it's funny too when you consider the way the office has been and Karen coming in from Stanford and coming up with these ideas that might make the Stanford people feel more at home. Christmas raffle, Christmas drinking game, karaoke machine. And Angela is of the opinion that none of those things will ever work. You gave it a try. It didn't work out. But later, after Pam and Karen team up, karaoke is like a very, very well received, and a lot of the characters start singing in a lot of ways and songs you might not expect from them.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite karaoke moment in the entire show is Kevin doing Alanis Morissette to Daryl's keyboard backing. You.
There was so many good memes when that Netflix show You came out. And I just would put Kevin over the main guy instead. You. That scene sticks out to me. Like, I remember that one more because they're in the break room, right?
Yeah, they are.
It's like the location for it's so different than all the other times we see it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we get karaoke at multiple Christmas parties, right? We mentioned Benihana Christmas. It happens at Secret Santa as well.
Well, there's two locations in Benihana Christmas because they do, when they find the cord to the karaoke machine, they do set it that's up true. in the bullpen, and that's when you get Michael and Andy come back with my new girlfriend and my new girlfriend. And then everyone's kind of like singing. They're almost like up on a like up on the desks. I think like they kind of create a stage. You get Creed singing karaoke. You get Angela doing little drummer boy when
and Dwight
Dwight holding the mic for her. And then, yeah, Dwight doing Green Day.
That's in Secret Santa.
Yeah, yeah. Dwight does
okay.
Lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. He does Boulevard of Broken Dreams and Secret Santa.
That's right.
kind of happening in the background, yeah. I walk this lonely road.
Yeah.
That
yeah. One. But I think
funny
too,
choice
like that,
by Dwight.
Yeah. But in the Benihana Christmas episode, it's fun to watch the characters kind of come together. And a lot of it is for the sake of Pam and Karen's party, totally blowing Angela's meeting out of the water. And we see Carol playing the
Angela's
keyboard as
meeting,
the
not Angela's party.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Much more of a meeting.
And a funny sort of, I think, something that I picked up on was when he says, "Hold on, little ladies, I'll go get my synthesizer." And they all start cheering,
yeah.
Daryl. Like, such a funny inverse to Booze Cruise, when they're all chanting for Daryl as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Peak, I mean, that's a high watermark for Daryl's approval rating within the office. That and then, you know, dancing at the when he leaves and dances with everyone.
Right.
Real high points.
Yeah, and I love the way in Benihana Christmas, the way the characters show themselves. Michael, that's part of his realization that he doesn't know who is who.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. And your body is a wonderland.
Mm-hmm. And
No, I was going to – I just have some fun facts, some tidbits about the Benihana Christmas karaoke.
Please.
Or the music.
Give them to me.
So, one, it took a lot of convincing. This was all on Office Ladies, but it took a lot of convincing by BJ Novak to get John Mayer to let them use Your Body as a Wonderland on the show. Because apparently BJ Novak knows him or knew him personally.
He's in BJ Novak's new movie, Vengeance, from last year. Yep. Mm-hmm. The whole opening is BJ Novak and John Mayer just kind of being assholes
right,
at the edge
like
of a party.
Rooftop bar. You're right. I remember. Okay, you're right.
They keep being like 100%. 100%.
Oh, that's a great scene. Anyway, but he convinced John Mayer to let them use the song. And initially, John Mayer was like, it's getting too complicated. I don't want to do that. But then eventually there was a deal that was like, all right, you guys can use it, but you have to give me a Dundee. Like, he's a big fan of the show. And so... BJ Novak got a Dundee made for John Mayer, and it's a Dundee for the tallest music dude. And once he got that, he let them use their song.
That's amazing.
Great.
I love
and
that.
Then other tidbit about Benihana Christmas, not during karaoke, but this was a joke that ended up costing them a bunch of money. When Michael's showing this sandals, the tickets to Sandals Jamaica, and he goes, "Two tickets to paradise."
Yeah.
Well, they had to pay licensing for that to Eddie Money for whose song that is. That joke cost them $60,000.
Oh, wow.
Wild. Yeah.
Which initially they filmed it, they did it, and then was like, wait, we have to get permission for this.
Oh, shit.
And the writer was like, yeah, that was
sorry.
Not good. Not a good look for me.
Yep. Oh, that's great. Any other Benihana moments before we move on?
Well, just that's Angela singing Little Drummer Boy, where Dwight is singing Little Drummer Boy at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's always the, when we look at how long was that going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People bring up how early Dwight was singing Angela's favorite song.
Well, email surveillance, we do see them making out in Jim's
knocking,
like
knocking Burks
in the place
didn't
structure
notice.
That's in the back of Jim's
too busy knocking Burks.
Knocking Burks.
I'm ravished.
You
after
like
a
that
night of lovemaking.
what is the next karaoke moment? Is it Secret Santa?
Well, we should talk about email surveillance as far as a little bit. I mean, we kind of went over the awkwardness of it, but I mean, when Michael when Michael's trying to get someone to sing with him, I mean, and Jim steps up, that's a big moment for both Jim and Michael. Jim, who's tried to control this party so much that, like, I just want everyone to have fun without their boss here, invites everyone. But Michael, of course, Michael finds out, given the entire framing and structure of the email surveillance episode, shows up. And they kind of make peace. They kind of break bread over the song a little bit, because I think to Jim, it's like, yeah, Michael's not quite ruined the party, but he's put a big damper on it. And I think Jim realizes the one way out is to lean into it and not resist it. And if Michael's having fun, maybe everyone can have fun. Mm. And that's the beauty of karaoke is he steps up, they sing that song together, turns the party around, people start having fun. And karaoke, if nothing else, is... I think you guys would agree. I mean, the first time you do it, it's nerve-wracking, totally nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you're not someone who's comfortable in front of strangers or a crowd, mm-hmm. or like public speaking. It's almost the most hellish version of public speaking in a way, because you're also performing. But once you do it once and you realize it's not actually as scary and people just want to watch you have a good time, you don't actually have to be a good singer. I mean, karaoke is unlocked for you forever. And I feel like in that setting, in a small house party, it might be almost worse around coworkers, because like they're going to talk about it at work, the karaoke. But I think when Jim commits in that moment, it really helps ease the tension, really kind of solves all the problems.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it's funny how Jim like can be the peacemaker. For as often as he is just kind of rolling his eyes at everything. But that is a really nice moment.
Well, and at this juncture in the show, at this juncture in the show too, I think people look to Jim a little more, and a little more, subconsciously than they do at other points in the show. I mean, it becomes kind of a, maybe a butt of the joke that later on that the Jim isn't what he thinks he is or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but I do think, like, I thought you made a very good point, Alex, that like when they see Jim also relaxing about his own party and not wanting to invite Michael, like everyone else can relax and have a good time too. That's an important role to play.
Also, this is a karaoke party before Andy's here. One of the only ones we get.
Right.
you know, if Andy was there, he would just be on that machine all night.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of literal karaoke moments, I think Secret Santa might be the next one.
So, like, I mean, by this point, the ensemble is so comfortable with each other, and, you know, I don't even think it's really a big deal that it's almost, like you said, kind of expected that there's going to be karaoke at the parties now.
Yeah, it's just kind of a feature of it. And I mean, we also get Michael just on the mic, just using it, I think, to narrate the party because he's so upset about not being Santa. Oh, look, yeah. Dwight make himself a friend. this idea of self-amplification. Yeah, like Michael just gives himself a microphone so that he can keep talking louder than everybody else. Yeah.
There's something about that. See, Michael, when he just doesn't give a shit anymore, is so funny. And that is one of the best moments. Sitting there kind of like a little drunk, a little tired, and just doing some crowd work is just so funny to me.
Mean crowd work.
Yeah.
And no one is paying attention to him. He's just bitter and upset.
It's like insult karaoke.
David, guess who I am sitting here dressed as?
What an insane way to open a phone call. Love it.
Valtteri's a sin, Stanley. Better where you're going. Hit you double hockey sticks.
So email surveillance right away, Christmas party. And then...
and then three seasons later in Secret Santa. We do get Andy and Dwight singing a duet. I'm not sure what song, but... I can't remember what song, but this is the first time since, you know, they kind of bonded over singing Wagon Wheel together. So kind of
now
like
they sing Country Roads.
Sorry, Country Roads. Yeah.
Is that really the next after that, the next karaoke's not for three seasons.
It really is. Yeah, not for three seasons. Yeah.
I guess Diwali's the end is not karaoke. That's just a performance. Benihana Christmas is the Benihana Christmas is the next season.
Yeah, season yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Benihana Christmas to Secret Santa.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Sorry, I was going email surveillance. Gotcha.
There we go. Glad we cleared that up.
thank God.
Things were getting heated over here.
Yeah.
We also get Michael revealing, speaking of Andy, Michael on the karaoke microphone revealing that Andy had Aaron for Secret Santa and he was getting her the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, blowing up his spot.
Mm-hmm. Not just, yeah, not just Michael also being able to tell other people's secrets with a microphone.
Just, yeah. And so casually, just.
Yeah.
Oh, here, I'll throw this match on that fire. I don't care.
Andy had Aaron. Yeah.
And then okay, so we get all the way to Secret Santa, we get some more, and what's next after that? What's the next karaoke after that?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Edwin. I think it's Lice.
I think so as well. And maybe somebody out there is listening and is screaming because they think of what we're missing. But I do think that Lice is the next one for karaoke moments. And yeah, it just becomes Pam and Meredith at the end of that episode going to get a beer, and Pam saying, beer sounds amazing right now. It's mm-hmm. singing girls just want to have fun. A great moment, them kind of getting that release that can come with singing karaoke. Again, very different than what it is early in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they take it externally out into the public to a real mm-hmm. a real karaoke bar. So they've graduated from, you know, home setups in the office to the real thing. Good evolution.
I forget, is it Poor Richard's that they're at? Or do we know?
No, they go to the bog.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, this
Turn off the Chumbawamba and scram, twerp.
Yeah, kind of nice. I mean, I guess, you know, almost in a way sort of repeating what we see in email surveillance. A karaoke duet cutting through the tension. Leaving us on a hopeful note.
And a little bonus Creed singing his own song.
That's right.
You know, I think one other sort of, this isn't technically a karaoke moment, but in Andy's play, we have him singing along with Daryl again with Macy Gray. Another great moment with the whole staff together, Andy singing. And I think there's something about karaoke as well that makes it okay to sing. I'm thinking of when Pam says, it's actually really nice to hear Andy sing in the appropriate setting. So like, mm-hmm. there's an element of that, like when there's a time and a place to hear your coworker sing, and karaoke is the right context for that to happen. And then also Daryl is the one who says to Michael, like, no, it's my plumber. They discovered him singing karaoke.
I thought they brought this guy in from New York or something. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The plumber's got pipes.
Yeah. You were booing. I can see you. Yeah, you were the only one booing.
I can see you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny that like in this show, which is all about like this business setting, like you kind of have to tamp down your personal self or your life, and you don't want your life to bleed into your work maybe. And then over the course of 9 seasons, their life becomes their work and vice versa. To kind of have these little bits and pieces where you can set the right sort of stage for other people to either amplify themselves or express themselves or communicate in the right setting. That's what karaoke kind of allows in the office.
And we've done a music episode. We've talked about all these other music times.
Yeah, of course.
And you're right that like there's a lot of other times on the show where they're covering a song or they're listening to a song or whatever, but it's none of that. It's the karaoke's on its own category of that. And, we get just enough of it throughout the show that it was worth an episode for us. But also,
yeah, of course,
there. I mean, and every single one of these moments we've mentioned, something is mended or something is fixed. People get over something with karaoke, mm-hmm. And that always feels like I haven't had many. I can't think of a night out we've done karaoke where it was like, boy, I regret that. Like it's always fun. It's always great. and someone tries a new song or whatever. I mean, we could probably spend a whole episode just talking about our own karaoke memories.
Have you guys ever done karaoke at a work event?
Yeah.
Yes, but not my work.
Nice.
How did it... my wife's Christmas party, the first time I met a ton of her coworkers, very crowded karaoke stage, and no one knew who I was because I was a boyfriend of someone they worked with. And I crushed it, and I still, to this day, all of her workers are like, oh yeah, you sang karaoke like 4 years ago at the party. I sang Got a Brand New Bag.
Nice.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. Yeah. I would say, Alex, you have a very deep bag as far as karaoke songs go.
you as
I
well.
I did sing at a work event. We had a work... It was kind of this unique circumstance where near the end of last year, there was like a little mini holiday party. And at the same day, a coworker who's gone for like a year traveling, organized a party at this karaoke thing. So a lot of us went from the holiday party to the karaoke thing, but not everyone went to the karaoke thing right away. So I sang it first in front of only a handful of my coworkers who had never heard me sing before. So that was kind of fun. And then later in the evening, I sang again when it was really crowded, and it was also very fun. It was really crowded. There was no stage, so I stood up on this bench to try to see the words. And oh man, they got so mad at me, the people who worked at that bar.
Oh no!
It might have been one of those things where they were just angry at me in German, and it felt a lot more angry than
it was
German,
yeah.
That's the house rules for karaoke. Like there's little differences sometimes. I have gotten shade from the KJ before for doing a mic spin on the cord.
Oh, gosh.
No,
yeah.
No. And like, sorry.
Or dropping the mic. That's the other one.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Do not.
Yeah. Drop the mic. Yeah.
I worked on a movie called All Together Now on Netflix. And there was a secret after rap party where the director had booked the biggest room at... I can't remember what this place was called, like Citizen or something like that. It was a karaoke bar on Broadway.
Capitol.
Or on Capitol. That's it. And everyone was there. All the stars from the movie were there, who were all like 19-year-old Disney Channel stars. And my buddy, who's the prop master, was like, we should do a duet together. We should do a Millie by Lil Wayne. And I was like, I love that song and I know all the words, but I think that sometimes the karaoke version is different. And he was like, I don't know. Huh? I was like, yeah, it's just happened to me before. But anyways, we signed up for it. It was so embarrassing. It was just like, no one could figure out how to turn the song off. It was like, it's just like, going so fast with like the lyrics going by, and we're just like it was so oh man,
you got the Kids Bop version maybe?
Oh yeah, it was like we walked away just head in hands, like oh man, that was so that great to leave the movie on that note.
One of my favorite karaoke memory of Sean is at we went camping out at the coast a few years ago, and we just got poured on rain one night, and it was just kind of miserable and cold at the campsite. And it was like Saturday night, and we were like, let's, you guys want to go into Tillamook and just like go inside somewhere and hang out? And we'd seen that there was karaoke at the Elks Lodge in Tillamook, Oregon, which is, you know, a rural beach town. And, we went in there, and it was just like, everyone knew each other because it was a small town.
Right.
And everyone was singing like country, old, like pop country.
The place
much.
Was,
that was like it.
The place was completely decorated for Easter.
Yeah, it was like Easter like, weekend. That's right.
The whole place was just like covered in Easter decorations.
Yeah. And there was like eight of us that rolled in just reeking of campfire, and like so much so that we walked in and everyone like stopped and turned and looked at us, and it was like, what is
almost
that
a record scratch.
Yeah.
The KJ was this small woman who was like maybe like, you know, probably like in her 60s, and she was like covered in sequins. And then she had all these young boys helping her who had vests made of CDs.
That's right. And she was in her 60s, but had the energy of like an 18-year-old.
She'd drinking
a lot of soda.
She performed Lady Marmalade.
Like doing crowd work, like running around, you know, draping herself over people, like sequin dress, whole thing. It was all country. And then Sean went up there and did You Remind Me by Usher. And I think it was the first real beat that had dropped all night. And people were so into it. Like, I remember you'd put the song in and then, you know, like another four like countries, like Garth Brooks songs went by and you were like, oh, boy, I don't know if people are going to like this. And it was just like the KJ was loving you. It was so fun to watch her just fall in love with Sean. Singing Usher.
It was a very fun, memorable night. Kind of Lynchian, that that space.
It was.
And every few months, Sean throws on his new CD vest, rides back out to the coast, and the
part
sequence
of the team
begins
now.
Again.
Looks at himself in the mirror and goes, "You got this." Gets out there.
She offered me a job on the spot.
We're pretty far down the rabbit hole.
This concludes our discussion about karaoke.
Well, before we go, I want to give Edward a shout out because he's turned me on to a lot of karaoke songs that are now in my bag. And I watch Edwin do them and I go, wow, that's a great karaoke song. Number one pick for me for that is Nothing from Nothing by Billy Preston, which I saw Edwin kill
great
once.
One.
And I was like, that's the greatest karaoke song. It's like fun, upbeat, and it's like 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like you're up there.
And
you get to
show
off the vocals a little bit, and then you're out.
The beginning of Nothing from Nothing is so unique that everybody kind of is like, oh, what is this?
It's like Carnival. It's almost like...
If we're going to throw in more karaoke memories from ourselves, I remember Sean once asked me, we were at Voice Box Portland, you were like, do you want to do Wild Wild West? I was like, yeah, sure. And neither one of us knew the song well enough to actually do it. Sean wanted to bail immediately. I was trying.
I feel like it took me years to finally realize like I cannot just sign up for songs that I haven't. Like they have to be vetted. I gotta like try it at home or try it in a safe space first.
Yeah. I mean it's like when you're growing up and you kind of learn how to drink by making horrible drinking mistakes. It's the same with karaoke. You gotta make some mistakes, figure out what are your limits, what can you actually do?
Mm-hmm. Or driving, you know, you learn how to drive by making horrible driving mistakes.
Hitting that ostrich in a soccer uniform.
Rubbing your feet together to stay awake.
Were either of you there at the old pad when we went and that woman did
God bless the
woman,
old pad.
Yeah. No, she did Stan by Eminem.
No, I don't remember
either. No.
I was not there.
No, oh, but that's God. A very strange song to do.
I'll do it really quickly because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen karaoke wise in my life. And she was probably late 40s, and it's a duet in karaoke, and Stan by Eminem.
Yes.
You know, where you hear him writing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a really dark, really, really
it's a really
violent,
messed
dark
up song.
And it's like 6 minutes. Like it's a long, dark song.
Yeah.
But in between Eminem's long, dark verses are these Dido. My tears gone cold, I'm wondering why.
Oh, yeah.
Which is clearly... The woman only knew that song because of those parts, and I think thought that was the only place that, like, I think she wanted to sing that Dido song, but instead she's like, oh, I'm going to sing that because I love that part, and she's very drunk.
Okay.
And so whoever she was with, a guy who was looked like he was late 60s, early 70s, and she's like, come do this duet with me, and just dragged him up there.
Oh, wow.
And she was in her element singing the Dido part. And then, which left minutes at a time of this guy going, "Dear Slim, I got my girlfriend tied up in the trunk. I'm going to drive her off the bridge. I drank a fifth of vodka. Damn her to drive." Just reading.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep up reading Eminem lyrics.
Oh, that sounds awful.
In front of a whole bar. It was truly spectacular.
Okay, well, since we got far enough down the rabbit hole, I think that concludes our main topic. Let's take a break, and then we're gonna do some ordinary things, some questions sent to us by a listener. So stick around.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
That is our building, and we sell paper.
All right, welcome to Ordinary Things, where we just talk about our lives, how it relates to certain things in the office, like we didn't just do that for 20 minutes.
I was going to say, it's going to be a very big departure from our last
It's a little preview of our monthly mailbag exclusives on Patreon. It's kind of what it's like. but anyway, this is actually an email we got a while ago, last September, from Mead, who sent us these questions, I think, initially for it to be kind of trivia for each other, but they're actually just great Ordinary Things questions that we can go through it pretty quickly. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time, but mm-hmm. I'm going to read these questions. We'll bounce around, and this is called MSPC Roll Call from Mead.
All right.
Who asked, Mead. Let's see if y'all know each other well enough to answer for each other, but we're just going to do it for ourselves. Number one, what are your co-host's favorite episodes or moments from the show? I know we've talked about this at length.
I mean, Alex's I know is money.
For episode. I know yours. I know John's, yours is Mafia.
We know is murder.
Murder.
Sorry, not Mafia.
Oh, you know what? Edwin's, I usually get that one wrong. That's
Edwin's
great.
Is Cafe Disco.
Or the, well, no, Edwin's say. Is the Dundies.
Yes, Dundies.
But I think
how can I explain it? Take a frame of frame it. So happy that you all made it.
Yeah. So we've talked about that, but let's move on to these other questions. What was your worst first date? Worst first date.
I don't know if it's like it's not much of a story. It was like a lunch date in college with a friend of a friend who. Like I met at a party, and then it was just like, you know, and it's also a lunch date, which is kind of lame. And it was like, I was just like, there was just nothing. Like there was just no spark in conversation whatsoever. And it was like, I just like felt so bad. That was really it. I haven't even been on a ton of first dates, I would say.
What did you have for lunch?
I think it was like a Chinese restaurant. Remember. It was in Eugene. I'm sure it was not great.
Maple Garden?
It wasn't Maple Garden. I picked her up and we drove a little further away from campus, but it wasn't like a nice restaurant, I don't think.
Yeah. I've had a couple clunkers. I've had some really weird. There was a time when there was a window when I was single and I was on dating apps and was doing a lot of first dates. And there were some of those that were really weird, but they're not that like, those almost don't seem like first dates. They feel like auditions. Yeah. And then you do your first date after is how it felt a lot of time.
Right.
For a real first date, years ago, I used to work over by the new season's on Seven Corners. You guys know the one on Division, right? But I used to go there and for lunch all the time at the office I worked. And there was a girl that worked at the sandwich counter that I thought was really cute. And just for like months and months and months, I was working up the nerve to just like ask for her number or something. And I would just always go get sandwiches from her.
Mm-hmm. That's risky because then, if, you know
even, even she... though I knew it, even though I knew how to drive stick, you know what I mean? Kind of like Jim. It's like, I don't know.
Even though you knew how to make a sandwich yourself?
I know how to make a sandwich, but I went to her every day to get a sandwich made.
You're like, you'll have to show me sometime how to make these.
Wow, I just love watching
you work. How do you do that? Yeah.
It's incredible. But, you know, in my head for so long, I was like, oh, I feel like every time I get a sandwich, we have a nice banter. And She's cute. I'm cute. Let's do this thing. So I finally worked up the courage after months and asked her number, and she was like, yeah, okay. And she wrote a number on the sandwich form that I had given her, and then she gave it back to me. And I set it up, it's not that it was bad, but it was my worst first date in that I realized later, and it felt like it even during it, where she went out to dinner with me at a place near there. And it was like she had done this 1,000 times with other guys exactly like me that went to New Seasons and asked for her number. And I don't know if she was just collecting dinners. Good for her if she was. That's a great thing she had going. But the entire time talking, the entire evening was just like, yeah, okay, so what do you want to talk about next? Okay, all right. Well, good dinner. Like, I feel like at no point, even when I asked for her number, at no point was she going to, like, this is going to go anywhere. But she just, it almost was felt like she did it out of service to me, or just to get me to stop getting sandwiches from her. I don't know.
I would have thought, yeah.
But I was, you know, I was very polite. And for me, I was like, it just took me so long to work up the courage to ask. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like, for her, it was just turnkey completely. She'd done it a million times. So I just went home feeling real bad about myself. That was my worst first date because it just was nothing.
What did you have for dinner?
We went to Broder.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay.
It was great. The meal was great, but the sparks, as long as I had spent building it up, just nothing. There was nothing. It was a real letdown.
I don't have like a bad story. I think the thing that comes to mind, like you said, you like it was one that came from a dating app, and we got coffee very like early in the morning. I think it was before, if I remember correctly, it was like over a holiday break, so like probably like between Christmas and New Year's. And I remember she had to go to work, so we got coffee before she went to work. And then like it wasn't great, you know, didn't really connect. But then I just remember afterwards, it was like, well, now I have the whole day. It was just very strange to have an entire day after a date. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now you have the whole day to rerun that date in your mind.
To replay it in your brain. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of how it felt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the next question here?
Yeah, okay.
This one we can move a little quicker at. When is the time you lied about having a common interest with someone? And then Mead says, I prefer Maradona to gain that person's friendship or request. So based off of everyone interacting with Charles or maybe Daryl to D'Angelo, loving the American Southwest.
Yeah.
I call it heaven.
or Toby really being into wine because Oscar gets excited about the bottle he picks.
There you go. I got one, actually. I could go.
You were never into sandwiches at all.
I hate mayonnaise, and I got it every time. When I started at college, I started out at Western Washington up in Bellingham, and I had a very hard time making friends because it was a state school for Washington, and it was all people from like Seattle that went to high school together. And so like everyone already had friends, and I didn't. And so I was just desperate for anything. And like I fell in with this guy Cooper, who actually was awesome. And then he had one of his best friends was like a, his name was Gerald. He was a DJ. He was a white dude with pretty awesome dreadlocks. but him and Cooper were like super into like trippy, mushroomy house DJ music scene.
Trance.
I don't know if that even makes sense.
Yeah,
like kind of trancy, kind of like
jungly, like
at their apartment was a lot of like black lights and those like fuzzy posters with neon colors, and they were just really into like that scene, which I was not at all. But right away they were just like, are you into like rave, like this kind of deep house stuff? I was like, oh yeah, like, totally. I was just like, you could have picked me out of a lineup from a mile away of like, who doesn't belong here? And I'd like go to parties with them and everyone there. I pretended for like 3 months to be into that scene.
Right.
And I hated it all the time. And they would just get me really, really, they would smoke a ton of weed, and I would too, which was not good for me for in social situations. And I just pretended to be like, yeah, this is normal for me. I like this. I didn't. And I transferred to U of O the next term. Like, that's cool. Shout out to Cooper and Gerald, though. Legitimately great guys. But, sorry I lied to you.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I'm sure that's pretty common. You know, you leave home and go to college and you don't actually maybe know who you are, really. And so you're just trying some stuff on. I mean, I do remember, like, I have
the intellectual side of me wants to examine that, but I know there's no content.
I mean, like, I had these guys that I met in Eugene, like, who grew up on the east side of Portland, you know, kind of from old Portland, you know, just much cooler than me. I grew up in the suburbs, like, almost, you know, in North Beaverton. So it's like, and I tried to hang with those dudes a lot. And I even tried to, like, you know, I kind of auditioned to join their, like, punk band. That didn't work out. It's like, but I remember one time they gave me a ride home from Eugene to Portland. And when they dropped me off at my house, they were like, you don't live in Portland. And I was just like, like, no, my address is Portland. They're like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, but.
It's such a funny line to draw. Like the
Yeah, they were like, this is not real Portland. And they're right.
I can't think of a good time. Although I feel like not that long ago, somebody I think it was since I moved here, somebody was like, "Yeah, we should do this." I was like, "Oh yeah, maybe." And then like at a certain point, they were like, "You know, you could say no. It's okay if you don't want to go." But I feel like my nature is just to be like, "Yeah, sure, maybe let's do it." And then like it doesn't come together, you know.
Yeah,
fix it in post.
Yeah, I mean, like I will say that I still regularly will just like. Like someone mentions like a name, like some sort of celebrity name or something, and I'm just like, oh yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Like I mean, I totally still do that, and I feel like that's something that I'm trying to stop. Like I'm trying to be like, you know, like yeah. I don't know, who is that? I don't know who that is. But like, you know, just it like, you know, out of nervousness and just kind of keep things moving, I'll totally pretend that I know what people are talking about.
You go hard the other way. I don't know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me everything about that.
I don't know who that is, and I don't want to know who that is.
It's that's
what I want to say.
Conversation over.
That's a Mike Birbiglia joke where he says, sometimes people will ask me if I've seen a movie, and I'll say, no, I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. What it really means is, I haven't heard of it, but I like you.
I like you. That's true. That's it.
I like it. All right. What's the next one?
Let's keep moving.
This one will be we'll just do rapid fire.
Yeah,
here.
Let's
do it. Right.
What office Olympics or beach day game would each of you excel at?
Hot dog eating contest.
Oh, I was gonna say I think you'd be an awesome coal walker, Sean.
Oh, thank you.
You got thick feet.
No, actually, I don't know. I mean, the sumo thing looks the most fun to me out of all those games that they play.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's all awesome.
I got a low center of gravity. I'm short and stocky. Mm-hmm. I think I could make some hay in those sumo suits.
I could see it.
I think for me it would be Dunderball, the game that Toby plays.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think that would be yeah.
Mm-hmm. Edwin's a pretty right pure shooter on the basketball court, so that doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. All right, last one. What's the seemingly inconsequential mixed berry yogurt moment that you knew you'd be friends forever?
So I've got my one for Edwin queued up, definitely, which is we were like kind of, you know, friends, acquaintances, almost just kind of through our group of friends. I don't even know if we were in journalism together yet at this point. I guess we were probably because this is junior year of high school.
I think so. I know where you're going with this.
I had
someone making soup.
Yeah. I don't know if I've told this story before. I probably have, but I was like getting sick or something, and I mentioned it. I was like, I think I'm sick. I think I'm like probably not going to be here tomorrow. And Edwin was like, oh, I'll bring you some soup, like as a joke. And then I go home, and like a couple hours later, my mom is like, oh, your friend Edwin is here to drop off some soup. And I was just like, I mean, you know, it was like, it was not like weird at all. I was just immediately just like floored by the commitment to the bit. And it was a delicious soup brought over in a thermos, piping hot.
Amazing.
Definitely were, you know, that was a moment that I knew immediately we were friends. Alex, I don't remember a moment. I don't know if you do, but I mean, we just were doing a play together. That's how I got to know you.
Yeah, so, I think, yeah, it was just like at school, we were doing rehearsals for days and weeks and weeks after school.
Right.
I will give you the one, though, is auditioning for the plays that we got into together. Mm-hmm. We were doing a theater game where, like, two people do a scene. Well, they do this at the end of Benihana Christmas. Or is that the one? No.
Oh, you mean
at the end of Email Surveillance.
When Michael's at his improv class.
Yes, where two people are doing a scene.
Yeah.
And then someone says freeze, takes the place of someone else, and then starts the scene from whatever position they were in. They were doing that. And Sean, you came in and changed a scene, and you were like 14, like the most baby-faced freshman I've ever seen in my life. And but you did an impression of like an old man that was so expressive and so immediately like a fully realized character. It made me laugh so hard. I was like, this kid is a star. I gotta know this guy. I was like, he just made me laugh so hard. And I was like, I love this guy. And that for me, that was like, I knew I wanted to be friends with you.
Yeah.
Even as being 2 years older than you in high school. I was like, boy, I hope he likes me.
I think for Sean, it was the soup moment for sure. And that's an easy one. I think for Alex, I think we met at a summer camp. And I remember we were playing guitar. And it was the kind of thing where both of you, you're young enough playing guitar that you don't know that much. You just know like how to play certain things. And so you just pass a guitar back and forth and you play the little things that you know. And I feel like that's when we became.
Because we knew each other, but then like we didn't like hang out really at high school at all.
No, not like, really. But
but we did coming back later in college.
In college,
And then we were just in such common circles. I'm trying to remember what like if there was a specific moment, but I don't know. It was probably we probably had some great drunken conversation about basketball, and it was like, all right.
Rest as they say is history.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mead, for sending in those questions. If you have been sticking around waiting for more office talk, you are in luck because we're going to finish up with some trivia sent to us by Sienna.
Let's get it.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Sienna writes, Michael Scott Podcast Company, I presume. My name is Sienna and I live in Australia. This is just some random trivia, really hoping to stump Edwin. Okay. Cheers. Catch you on the flippity flip. Question number one.
Can I still play or?
Yeah, I guess so. How many different regional managers?
You can take your answers off the air.
Yeah. Yeah. You can edit out your responses. How many different regional managers were there at the Dunder Mifflin Scranton branch? And what were their names, including acting managers?
Oh. Okay.
Well.
So we can just go by naming them if you want.
Okay. Well, Michael Scott.
Yep.
Dwight.
Jim Halpert.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jim Halpert.
Yes.
Sorry, who Charles did you Minor? Say?
Yes. Wait, Charles Minor. Yeah, I guess he is an acting manager.
He was acting.
That's right.
Yeah. And Dwight and Jim, I think, were the other ones that we've mentioned.
Dwight,
Andy?
Creed, Andy.
Nelly?
D'Angelo.
Nelly Bertram, D'Angelo, yes.
Did we get Bobby? Did we get Bobby Kazimakis?
Robert California.
Robert California. And you got.
And Dwight Schrute at the end.
Yeah, and so you actually, there are 10 in total. You have one more.
Um,
are they including like Kevin, manager, who was manager for like an hour or something?
Okay. It literally says Kevin Malone, manager for 1 hour.
Stanley eats your lunch. Yeah.
Question two. What were two of Hidetoshi Hasegawa's jobs before working in the Dunder Mifflin warehouse?
Well, heart surgeon number one.
That's right.
Electronic salesman, Sanyo store.
Wow, that's nice right. Call. For two years. Yeah, nice. Wow, that was a good one. I would never have gotten that. Question three. In season 9, episode 2, Roy's wedding, what charities do the office staff suggest for Nellie's Operation Give Back?
All of mine are what I'm thinking of for Michael. Something hilarious where they give somebody a goat. That's what Kevin says.
Andy's is super like
PETA.
Isn't it something with like boats or like he wants to?
Oh yeah, they teach kids how to sign.
Teach him, Sephamore like nautical signaling or something.
Yeah, it's a foundation that teaches homeless children nautical flag signaling.
It's like the Worldwide Relief Fund.
Yeah, it does say technically he doesn't suggest this charity, but just says that he supports it.
But what is one that Dwight said? It's like the World Charity Fund. Right?
The Global Relief Foundation, which happens to be the Taliban or something like
that. The Taliban in Afghanistan. Yeah, that's what Dwight says.
Okay, so I'll just give you a hint. It's Stanley.
How is that for humanity?
But Stanley's is the it's diabetes, right?
Yeah, American Diabetes Association, which I think Creed or maybe Dwight accuses him of, like, that's basically a charity that's like benefiting him.
How many more do we have?
Creed and Kevin suggest.
Creed suggests like a soup kitchen. No,
he suggests work with Jimmy Carter and help build gnomes.
That's Habitat for Humanity. Okay, yeah. But cool. Yes.
And then Kevin is the Heifer International?
Heifer's International. That's the thing where they give somebody, that's what he was talking about. They give somebody a goat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. okay.
Nailed it.
Question four. I would say maybe that was a stumping question. Good job. Question four, in Counseling Season 7, Episode 2, Pam tells Gabe that unlikely things happen all the time when trying to swindle the role of office administrator. What anecdote does she tell following this statement?
Something with the radio? No.
No, because she's...
Like, for example...
Like, she's talking about, like, it's like a coincidence of, like...
Yeah.
People that knew each other and like ended up living near each other.
Did you know Lincoln's secretary was named Jefferson or something like that?
No. It's like, for example, my best friend from high school went to Canberra, Australia, and met a guy who lived two streets away from her in America.
Yep. Okay.
Three more questions here. Three more. Question five, in Sex Ed season seven, episode 4. Who does Michael notify of his herpes infestation, and in what order?
Donna, we have to get the order. I mean,
is Donna first?
Donna first.
Then Jan.
He makes another call before Jan.
Helene?
Nope.
It's Carol?
Nope.
Holly?
He calls Holly, right? And he fails to mention the herpes. Because it didn't come up organically.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Okay.
So it's Donna and then Holly and then Jan?
Then Jan.
Then Helene.
Then Helene.
You want to do a post-mortem on our relationship? I'm game. Let's do it.
Yeah. Michael Scott.
Concierge Marie? Just kidding.
Five is...
It's not like Holly again. Or no, it's...
It's not Holly again yet.
It's Holly, then it's Jan, then he goes to... Then it's Helene, and then Carol?
Then Carol, yes. Then he goes to the open house, and she's like, oh, Michael, you should get
by a doctor.
Now that I remember...
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
One of my lovers, yeah.
And then Holly again, and then Oscar at the very end.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
In the tag.
Yeah.
That's right.
We once sucked face. Yeah.
Sucked face, yeah.
Grossest way to say kissing,
yes.
By far.
By far. Question six. Can you name at least three options on Pam's final execution of the chore wheel?
Is that the
three options?
So that's the little wheel inside of the bigger one?
Well, it's we'll accept anything on the wheel. So I mean,
okay.
Tiny wheel
Stanley
is
gets
fine.
Your lunch.
So what's that?
Stanley gets your lunch.
Stanley gets your lunch. Yeah, that's
the
it.
Only one. The only one I remember is there's one that's just like go home, right? It's like you're done. Or
manager,
something
well,
go home now.
For
yeah,
an
go
hour.
Home now. There
go
is
home now. Okay.
Manager for an hour. You mentioned the tiny wheel. There's
well,
also
there's three.
Yeah, there's three. There's Creed's choice, bankrupt.
Creed's choice.
spin again. $10. Punch in the gut. Manager for an hour. Candy bar.
Birthday punches.
No internet is one. And then warehouse vacation.
Okay, no internet.
Nice.
I like warehouse vacation. Question seven. This is the final question. What does Sadiq, the IT guy, do in his spare time?
He's restoring a car.
Yes. Do you know what the car is? He mentions it.
Is it a Triumph?
No.
It's a BMW.
It's like an old Porsche.
So he is restoring a 1967 Corvette in his spare time.
Oh.
He also likes NPR.
Yep. And
Conan?
Hip-hop music. Yeah. Okay. He likes hip-hop music and NPR, and he's restoring a 1967 Corvette in his spare time. Thank you very much, Sienna, for sending in that fabulous trivia. I would say you definitely stumped the guys. Good work. If you would like to send us trivia, you can email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also give us a call and leave us a message. That's 503-694-9314. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And of course, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. For $5 a month, you can become a Scott's Tot. You get a bunch of a whole backlog of mailbag episodes and our Ted Lasso podcast and our White Lotus podcast. And, you know, you get to be just a part of a really cool community.
Can I give a little
soon?
Yeah.
Coming soon, little party
yeah.
down.
Yes,
coming
that's
back.
Right.
And we
that's
all
right.
are big fans. So I think we're going to do what we did for White Lotus and rewatch the original Party Down. We'll do an episode on that, and then we'll do an episode on the new stuff.
Super excited about that. Don't sleep on that. Go join us on Patreon. Help support the show. Donate.
I'm just throwing out now a name for that series. Are we doing pods yet? Nah, it doesn't sound quite. Potty down.
Are we having fun yet?
I know,
yeah,
that's
okay. That's a bit of a stretch, but we're going to keep working on it.
Party download?
potty. Yeah. Pod down.
Very special thanks to our patrons, our Scott's Tots, for supporting the show. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs our artwork. And this episode was recorded over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us while we dip back into karaoke in the office, karaoke in our own lives, and some fun questions about ourselves. And of course, for sending us trivia, for listening and hanging out, supporting us on Patreon, or just by listening to the show. It means the world to us that we get to do this every week. And after all this time, man, we're coming up on 4 years, so it's pretty incredible that we get to keep doing this. So thank you, as always. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
He's got thick feet.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Oh.
You know what? Fine. I try to start fun traditions for you guys, but if you don't want to sing, no traditions.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.
Hold up.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island, USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.